Let's just bow our heads and say a little prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, loving Father, we give you praise and glory. We ask in Jesus' name, grant us the light and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Strengthen us in our faith. Please speak to each and every one of us this day in a unique way. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, during the course of our life, in fact, on a daily basis, we have decisions to make, and we decide which path we are going to walk, and that determines our final destination. But the decisions that we make each and every day affect many other people, not just ourselves, but family, people at work, our neighbors, etc. I'd like to start off with a story that sort of brings this to light. It's a true story. I came across this several months ago, and I was amazed when I read this, how God works. The story is about Minka Disbro, her name spelled D-I-S-B-R-O, Minka Disbro. And she's a little over 100 years of age as of now. And a number of years ago, her family came to the United States. She is a daughter of Dutch immigrants, and she weathered a harsh childhood milking cows in South Dakota dairy farms. And her stepfather, I thought the high school was just for city kids who had nothing better to do. So after she finished grade school, it was just one schoolhouse with one teacher for all the grades. After she finished that, she spent long hours at the dairy. And something tragic happened, something unfortunate. The summer of 1928, her and a couple of the girls after the sewing class, they were picnicking, and they were assaulted by a few men. And they were just in shock. They were scared. They didn't know what to do. She said, we didn't know what to say. And so we went back home. We said nothing to our parents. But she said, something started happening to me. She said, my body started to change. My stomach was starting to get bigger. She said, I was always told that, you know, babies come from storks. So it turned out, parents said, you're pregnant. And then she explained what had happened. So this young girl, a little bit frightened, at the age of 17, gives birth to a beautiful baby girl, a blonde-haired baby with a deep dimple in her chin, and she named the baby Betty Jane. Now, she'll have this baby for about a month, and they had a photograph of the baby all bundled up, and she would keep it with her, Minka, the mother, for years and years, and probably she still has that today. But she said, I love that baby so much. She said, I long to keep her. But she said, my head, my mother, my parents told me that that's not going to work out too well. But she said, I wanted what was best for the child. And so they gave the child up for adoption. And the child was adopted by a pastor, a Lutheran pastor, with his wife. Now, she never got to see these parents or to meet them. And so what Minka would do then over the years, she would write letters to the adoption agency, which would be passed on to the daughter. Well, that's what she was hoping for, to see how the daughter was faring. And she would get some responses for a while from the adoption agency saying, your daughter, Betty Jane, is doing well. And eventually then, there was a new management at the adoption agency, and she lost all touch. Minka then would go on to get married. She married a fruit salesman who later became a wartime pilot, then a drafting engineer, and they would have two children. Minka would go on to be a dressmaker, a silk saleswoman, and working in a school cafeteria as a manager. She worked in cities in Rhode Island, Minnesota, Northern California, before moving to where she's now in San Clemente, just north of San Diego. And every year, on May 22nd, she would pray in a special way from her heart for her daughter, Betty Jane, who she only had for a month before giving up to adoption. And in a special way, in May 22nd, the birthday of Betty Jane, 2006, she prayed from her heart, Lord, if you would just let me see her, let me see little baby Jane, and I promise I will never bother her, just to see her, a picture just to see what's happened. Now at this time, Minka is 94 years of age. 6 weeks after this prayer from the heart, she gets this phone call. And the phone call is from a man from Alabama. And the man from Alabama starts asking Minka all these questions about her backgrounds. Minka's a little bit nervous, and she starts asking backgrounds. And then the man stops and says, I would like to speak to you about baby Betty Jane. And so Minka just like, her name now was Ruth Lee. She had been raised by a Norwegian pastor and his wife, and little baby Jane would go on, real name Ruth Lee, to marry and to have six children. One child became this man that was talking to her phone, a teacher in Alabama. Another one became an astronaut, Mark Lee, a veteran of four space flights, which circled the world 517 times. Her daughter went on to work at Walmart, Ruth Lee, for 20 years. And Lee knew she was adopted her whole life. And her children, so these are Minka's grandparents, said, but Mom was always a happy child. And one day we were talking, one of Minka's grandchildren, Brian, says, you know what, Mom, Ruth Lee, I'm going to look this up. We're going to find. And he tracked these things down, and he went to, got to the adoption records, and there was a stack of 270 pages, including a written account of the assault that Minka had undergone the summer of 1928, and all the letters that she had written, all the letters who had never gone on to Ruth Lee, her baby. And he said he's searching on the internet, and then he came across a match to this Minka. And he said, my heart stopped for a second. He said, there was an actual phone number there, and she was alive. She was thinking, well, this person's up in their 90s. They're probably deceased, but maybe find out about their life. And he was actually talking to her on the phone. I kind of stopped breathing for a second. And so then what happened is this gentleman, Brian, and then baby Jane Ruth, then got on a plane and flew up to California. And they met each other, and they embraced each other. And Minka said, it was so wonderful. She said, you could tell my daughter, we had similar taste in clothing. Our hands looked exactly alike. Then her daughter poured over the family photo album, and Minka got to see all her grandchildren and all the wonderful accomplishments that they did in life. And then later they would join up again for the 100th birthday. It's just a beautiful, beautiful story. And it says, the daughter said, it's been such a surreal, amazing experience. And I still think sometimes I'll wake up and it would just be just a beautiful dream. Now, it's really something. She has this child. This child comes to the world in a very tragic way. But she didn't make a wrong decision. I'm going to bring this child into life. And she loved the child. She wanted the best for the child. All of us have decisions to make. And our decisions affect so many others. This first reading from the book of Joshua, he puts it plainly before the people of God. If it does not please you to serve the Lord, decide today whom will you serve, these foreign gods or the true God. And then he says his manly statement, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. There may be sacrifices, there may be difficulties, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Now the story I tell, because as a priest, the letters that I've gotten when I talk about abortion, when I talk about pro-life, they'll usually say this, Father, I agree with everything you're saying, except in the case of rape. That should be permitted there. No. Can you imagine that, Minka? That child was terminated, that the life was ended? How many other people would not have been into existence? All the wonderful people, the wonderful things they've done in the world. And that baby, her baby, became Ruth Lee. The child said, well, Mom was always happy. She's always happy. It's a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful, beautiful person. So I've had many conversations over the years with people, and you have to keep this basic principle in mind. It's rape, and yes, it is. But you don't commit another sin of murder on top of it, because it doesn't correct that first sin, right? It just makes it worse. So the person's in that situation, then, okay, what do we do here? We're Christians, we're followers of Christ, and we always choose life. Jesus in the gospel, he asks a question. And any time that our Savior asks a question in the Bible, it's really a beautiful way to meditate. We ask that question as if, and he's asking us personally. And he asks here in the gospel, do you also want to leave? Now, this is all in the whole discourse of the Bread of Life discourse. We're always talking about the real presence and how many won't believe and they just walk away. This is hard saying, they walk away. But do you want to leave me? Do you want to leave me? Your marriage is tough. Do you want to leave me because I disagree with the Pope on this? Do you want to leave me? All these different things that happen in life, we want to throw in the towel, or we want to quit, or you know what, I'm just going to pack up and move to another state. I'm going to do that. Are you also going to leave me? In life, there are sacrifices and difficult decisions we have to make, but we have to do it in the light of our Christian faith, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Even whatever difficult situations that we're in, God could draw a beautiful, beautiful good out of that. So the story, I really go, wow, something horrible happened, but the beautiful good that comes out of it and all the lives that will come. Now, I had the privilege not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, I was on a retreat. Not only a wonderful priest on this retreat, and there's also Bishop Robert Herman from St. Louis, an auxiliary. And he made this comment, we'll talk a little bit about decisions. He says, the deepest problem with many Catholics, and you can expand it maybe to all, the deepest problem with many Catholics is that they've become accustomed to rationalizing away a life of sinful actions heading in wrong directions. In other words, I'm doing this, I'm going to do this no matter what, and I'm going to sort of rationalize in my mind why I could do that. And then he says on. He said, our decisions that we make reflect our value system. The decisions that we make should always reflect that we're followers of Jesus Christ, that we're Christians. He said, the right to protect the innocent child in the womb from destruction must be greater than other values. Huh? Now we have the elections coming up. And some people will say, well, I'm concerned about this issue. I'm concerned about this issue. Well, if we're followers of Christ and God's the God of the living, he said, we must value that innocent child in the womb must be greater than all the other values. And other priests have pointed this out. And our society is so selfish oftentimes, and we always think about me, myself, first, right? We do that. That's the effects of original sin. We have to get out of that mode and think for the common good. What's best for the rest? You know, the common good of society? Minka. She was thinking, what's best for this child? She forgot about herself. What's best for this child? And the beautiful, beautiful story unfolds, and all these children then from that come to into existence. And Bishop Herman says this. He said, our goal as priests and bishops, he says, not to engage in some political party, but to engage you with our Savior and his teachings. So our lives, our values, our decisions must be engaged with our Savior and his teaching. And that comes about by daily prayer. Prayer helps us to see with clear eyes. Clear eyes. And I came across this prayer, which we'll pray here now. Pope John Paul II, a man such a deep prayer, blessed. Every day he'd be in chapel from 5 to 6 a.m. Then he'd pray this prayer, an act of consecration to the Sacred Heart of Jesus before Mass at 7. And then he would say this prayer to the Holy Spirit to help him in all of his decisions he made in life. So I ask all of you, let's bow our heads, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to help us in all of our decisions of life. Holy Spirit, I ask you the gift of wisdom for a better understanding of you and of your divine perfection. I ask you the gift of intellect for a better understanding of the essence of the mysteries of the Holy Faith. Give me the gift of knowledge so that I may know how to orient my life in accordance with the principles of faith. Give me the gift of counsel so that in all things I can seek counsel from you and always find it in you. Give me the gift of strength so that no fear or earthly motivations can take me away from you. Give me the gift of piety so that I can always serve your majesty with filial love. Give me the gift of fear of God so that no fear or earthly motivations can take me away from you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.